This episode of the Bubble Lounge is brought to you by Kathy Wall State Farm Agency, voted the best insurance agent in DFW by D Magazine. Visit her website at kathylwall.com and insure the things that matter.
And Alto, the better way to rideshare. Safe, clean, consistent. Send a text message to 474747 with the word bubble and receive $25 credit towards your first two rides. Alto, everything modern transportation should be.
Welcome to the Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson.
And I'm Nellie Shuto.
And we're coming at you live from Kid Biz, which is the coolest store in Dallas, Texas.
Oh my God, I just saw they have adult clothing over there in the corner.
Oh yeah, they do.
I thought, oh my God, maybe it's a larger kid size. And I was like, no, it's actually like the sneaky adult corner.
I know, I love it. You can go from baby to adult.
Exactly. You can shop for your kids and yourself.
If you're female, you can go to the adult
side. If you're female.
This was always one of my favorite stores to shop at when my kids were younger. Mm-hmm. And it's a great place for baby gifts. They wrap the gifts so cute. Like when you're at a baby shower and you get a gift from Kid Biz, you know it's something special.
Well, and that's so important. It's like, come on. You know when you buy a gift and then you have to go wrap it and you have to go buy all the stuff and then you kind of sit on it for a while.
For
in this
sure.
case, it's all done for you and you walk out the door.
They make it look perfect.
Yeah.
In fact, we are going to have Jay Feingold, the owner of Kid Biz, come up here and talk about Kid Biz.
Get up here, Jay.
Come on, Jay. Welcome to the Bubble Lounge, and thank you so much for letting us to come here tonight.
You can come anytime because you're the best promoters I've seen in a long time.
All right. Thank you.
Really appreciate it. But I want to correct you on one thing. I'm not the only owner. I have a wife.
He does. Uh-oh.
She owns the boss.
Right.
You see, my arm is in a sling.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Quick question. How is that working with your wife all day, every day?
It's fine for me. I don't think it's so fine
she
for her.
She might have a different
Martha,
story.
How's that for you? How's that working with Sean?
It can be challenging. I'm not going to lie. It can be tough sometimes.
As long as you have two different skill sets, you're okay.
Exactly. You balance each other.
Complement each other.
Tell us about how you started the whole store. We did not start the store.
Okay. We bought the store for Janet back in 1995, and it was only 1,200 square feet in the plaza at Preston Center. It had been in, it had been there a couple of years, and it had been in Preston Royal for 4 years. It was started by a couture buyer from Neiman's, and we just kept the concept, which was fashion forward, fun, new stuff for kids. Janet, being a bit more aggressive, being a buyer at Foley's and having worked for Ralph Lauren for, I don't know, how many years, sweetheart? A lot.
17
years. Okay.
Well, 17 years.
So she knows what she's doing and always has, and she just expanded on it and has done such a great job, and we grew the store. We expanded it twice, and it got to be bigger than what I was doing, so I said, hey, I'm coming in with you.
Yeah, I'll work for you. I'll work for you, Janet.
And for those of you that may not know, they have moved to Inwood Village now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Space is amazing.
It's right. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah. We just kind of did a little bit of an update. I think at our age, you know, I'm maybe a little crazy, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, the clothes are amazing. Like, you really think about it, and what you said about Neiman's or whatever, like, you can walk in here and dress your kid like a little superstar.
Well, it's important for babies to be dressed in couture,
in my opinion. It really is.
So, this is perfect to go for that. So, why the Park Cities?
Well, that's where we live.
Yeah.
Okay. And we didn't want to be too far away. Our first thought was to buy her a shop. You know, it wasn't particularly kids or whatever. We looked at a lot of different stores, and we had a mutual, the owner of Kid Biz and us had a mutual friend that put us together, and it was perfect for us. But one thing, there was a store that we looked at several years when we were going through this process, and it was a card and gift shop that was really a lot of fun. And Janet said, every time I come in this store, they always have something new and different and fresh. And that's kind of her mantra for Kid Biz. And it's always been that way. And there's always something new, always, you know, avant-garde, for, you know, out of the box first.
And isn't it incredible, the development in our neighborhood in the past couple of years? Do you notice it? Do you notice the how it's growing and like it really is becoming even more trendy and super New York-y and super LA?
Yeah.
The
kids, they don't want to wear the frocking, you know, they want to wear the new stuff.
Exactly. Right.
Well, I know you guys are very active in the community. You give to all the local auctions, but what else have you done?
Well, we've done a lot of fashion shows. Jan Strimple, the fashion show producer,
has put us
in several events. One in particular is Kidney, Texas. We've done that show for several years and a myriad of others. And we like to give back. Mm-hmm. And our whole family has done that. Our oldest daughter started BVB Dallas, which is a powder puff football game that raises money for Alzheimer's awareness and research. And it's raised over $4 million in the 11 or 12 years that it's been
existing.
That's
incredible.
Okay. Anyway, we love Kid Biz.
We love
helping
having
the
you here.
Community. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for being on so much for such an amazing event tonight.
As you said, we sell women's clothes.
And
we sell John Hart. We're one of the largest sellers of John Hart, which is made in Texas.
Very good graduation gift, by the way. And graduation's
perfect.
Coming up, guys.
Exactly, for everybody.
Okay. Thanks for being here, ladies.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, Jay. Our next guest.
So I don't know if you remember, you and I are kind of grown out of the babysitting business, but I don't know if you remember back when we did need babysitters, that somebody would call you at the last minute and say, hey, can you go to dinner? I've got these really great tickets to a Cowboys game in my corporate suite.
Yes.
And you're like, oh my God, I got to get a babysitter.
Yes.
And then you couldn't find one and you couldn't go and it was horrible, right?
Yes. And then you called.
Sitter Center Dallas.
Exactly.
With Rachel Logan. Come on
Trusted
up, Rachel.
People. Get up here, Rachel.
So Rachel is an SMU graduate, and she's very involved in the community, and she started Sitter Central Dallas several years ago.
Say it fast three times.
Sitter Central Dallas several years ago, and tell us about it. How'd you start it, and what's going on?
I started Sitter Central 12 years ago, and I went to SMU, and I was in a sorority, and everyone would call down the babysitting list, and the parents would get the same.
Like, please let me go out.
Please let me babysit, and the girls would say, I have an event. So instead of getting all those phone calls, I started my website.
No, it's so smart because, I don't know, you know, when you're looking for a trusted babysitter and you want to go out at night and like, we live in a little small neighborhood. You need to know you can count on somebody. Yeah. And so everybody I know has used you for years. We used you, et cetera. It's kind of nice. We don't need you anymore.
Because
we have older kids. But all of my friends who have younger kids, I always recommend you guys because I'm like, listen, you got to get out. Because people think, oh my God, I'm stuck in my house. Like, you got to get out sometimes for a couple hours.
Right. So walk us through like the website and kind of what it looks like and kind of how it works.
So it's really easy to use. If you're looking for a babysitter, you just log in, put the date and time you need a sitter, and you get a sitter by schedule. Mm-hmm. So we've interviewed, background checked, reference checked, and CPR certified all the sitters. So we've done all the work, and now you're just looking for the right personality match.
Well, and that's the thing that drew me to you when I first moved to Dallas from LA, was I was like, oh, they're all background checked. You know, these are people you can trust. The CPR thing, all of that really makes a difference. You know, you just don't want a random person coming to your house.
Well, what I think is cool is literally you can view the profiles on there, and it's kind of like a dating app. Like you're swiping right, and you're like, oh, that looks like a good match.
I like her.
And so you can pick your babysitter that way because it gives the bio, and it has plenty of pictures, and you can pick your babysitter that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, because some kids, like you boys need a certain babysitter. Like you kind of know what you're getting.
And if you have any questions or like, want a certain type of sitter, if you just reach out, we're happy to help.
Well, and I will say this, I have an only child, so when it came to babysitters, it would be like a group of kids, a group of boys, and I always knew I could count on you guys because I'd be like, we've got four boys here, they're all seven. Who's coming over? You know, that's a job.
That's a huge job. Well, I want to tell a quick story because when we used Sitter Central, we actually found a really wonderful one and formed a bond with her. And my daughter's now 15, and this particular babysitter was an actress, and she played Belle in Beauty and the Beast. And we went to go see her in community theater in Grand Prairie, and she came out to the lobby and she talked to my daughter. Here she is. My daughter is now 15, but this is her with the Sitter Central sitter, and she loved her. I mean, she thought she was a rock star. And we're still in touch with her. She lives in New York now.
Yeah, she lives back in New York. That's so awesome.
Remember her?
Yeah.
She's the best.
So any advice for people when they're looking for a babysitter? Like,
Advice, try to search for a sitter within 48 hours of needing one.
Okay. Good advice, instead of like an hour before.
Last minute.
Yeah.
But she did save me last minute, plenty of times.
Oh, yeah. No, we have plenty of last minute sitters. But if you're looking for one that's not through a system, make sure that they have great references. Check their references yourself if you haven't paid a service to do it. And that's it.
Yeah. And you also do permanent placement, right, for nannies?
Yeah. We do full-time placements, nannies, housekeepers.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Really good.
Personal assistants.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you wanted Belle in your house 24 hours a day, you could have it. Right?
That would be great.
Yes, definitely. Well, Rachel, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel.
She's brought several sitters out there in the bright pink T-shirt. So
you can grab them.
Feel free to go meet them and get a good feeling of how great they are with your kids.
Exactly. Okay, and the star of the evening.
It's time for the star.
Can we say, woo, 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 woo,
the moment
Mr. Donovan!
Mr. Donovan.
Wow.
Welcome to the Bubble Lounge again, only we're in Kidbis.
Wow. Can we say that Mr. Donovan told us to wear purple, and I was a little bit like, where's your purple? And he said, and I want you to look at the sheen on his suit.
The
it is purple. Okay.
So you guys compliment me like nice bookends.
Exactly.
You know, so
we have bookends to Mr. Donovan.
How cute is that? Like, he wanted to know what we were going to wear, and we didn't answer quick enough. So he's like, I'm wearing purple, silver, and black. And so he wanted us to coordinate so we look like prom dates. So
exactly.
I just thought that was so cute.
Always look good.
Absolutely. Awesome.
Always look good.
Okay, so you know you're a big celebrity in the neighborhood, right?
I've heard that.
You know you are. And I mean, I get it. It's like, so I had a child who wasn't naturally athletic initially. And I told you this last time we met. It's
yes.
Like, you know, he tried this sport, he tried that sport. I mean, my dad famously said to him at PCBC when he was playing basketball, you know, Charles, you might want to take your hands out of your pocket and hit a basket. You know, like, that's how it was. And, yeah. Like, then he found running, and I literally cried when he found running. And, like, you help kids find that sport, right?
You do. I do. And, and kids will find their sport, and a lot of it has to do with just the environment that you put them in. And it's you're always dating. You know, I enjoy track. My boys could care less. And then they're like hockey.
Yeah. Oh, you got bigger.
I got big.
Your voice.
Come now.
Super sultry. But yeah, so go ahead. So like any sport, like what is it about it that like, how do you lead kids to a certain sport? What is it that?
It's kind of like serving appetizers. You know, you just place it out there and say, hey, would you like to try this? You know, you're always dating. It's the approach really.
Yeah.
But there is no, predestined commitment that you have to do it this way and I'm going to do it because I did it. No, you just simply offer it.
Well, because I have learned, so I had a nephew who played basketball for Villanova the winning year, and he started playing basketball super young, and like, you know, he did great, obviously, but like my sister kept warning me, don't burn out a kid.
No.
Like he didn't really start playing basketball until he was 13 and he had 1,000 points within like 3 years.
Oh, wow.
But like, she didn't burn him out early. And she said a lot of parents were pushing their kids too early. Like, it's important to sort of, like, love on them. And
I do
encourage
see a lot
them, right?
of that.
I see a lot of that.
I feel like we have, like, NFL players in kindergarten right here.
Well, you have to be careful of the burnout. I mean, it's you know, you have a full day of school, then you have athletics afterwards, and then you're asking yourself, when does this person get a break? At some point, they blow. I mean, you can only keep that level up for so long. And then when there's the expectation to succeed, and if you don't have it, you know, it's a lot of pressure because kids naturally, they don't want to fail their parents. And when you're putting it on them, it's tough.
Well, so I was going to ask you, what is the biggest thing you see parents do that impedes the confidence in their kids? Is it that? Is it that pressure?
Unrealistic expectations.
Okay.
And pressure, just unrealistic, or living vicariously through them from what they didn't do.
Do you see some parents that maybe wanted to have their kids live out the dreams that they didn't accomplish? Does that happen?
Do I need an attorney?
Yes.
You see it. And sometimes you see the relationships that don't foster because of it. And it's tough. It's tough.
No, and I hear that. It's like, I'm an actor. I've been an actor since I was 14. And I remember thinking, oh, you know, my parents, like, I remember thinking, you know, I want my son, he wanted to be in acting, and I thought, don't do that, because I work with a lot of children, and I'll be on a set, and I'm the mom, or whatever, and I noticed that these kids needed so much attention,
And it was a little too, it was like, okay, this is like imbalanced. It wasn't, they needed too much attention. It was too needy. And I thought, what are these parents doing? And you could see the parents behind like, you know, kind of whipping them into, you know, being what they weren't, you know?
Right.
It comes at a cost.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
We have some high profile examples of that. I mean, Tiger Woods is one of them. Michael Jackson is our biggest example. Mm-hmm. Macaulay Culkin. Mm-hmm. And you can push, but it comes at a cost.
Those are great examples. I just saw Macaulay Culkin in a movie recently, and he was pretty awesome. I mean, he was really awesome, and I hadn't seen him in anything in a while. But, yeah, I mean, it took him a long time to come around because of that pressure.
Sure.
You know?
It comes at a cost.
Happens to a lot of child
stars. And not everyone can pay it.
So here, on the flip side, can giving too much praise be a bad thing?
Yes. It's like a false sense of security.
Mm-hmm.
It's not allowing them to accept the reality.
Okay.
And when that happens, you're just setting them up for failure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, we had chores growing up as children. You know, we rode horses and, you know, we had those types of chores. And we know that if you walk behind, you're going to get kicked.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never, oh, he's gentle, he'll be okay, he won't touch you. No, you get kicked once, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a reality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's a balance there. I'm not saying you have to have them be hurt, but you have to let them know these are the, you know, the warning labels.
Well, and speaking of that, like, what about when a kid's losing? What do you say when a kid keeps losing at something that they really want to be good at, right? I mean, we all have kids who are like, you know, they really want to be good, but they're sort of not reaching their potential, like, not the potential. They're not reaching what they envisioned,
They see. Again, that goes with how it's prefaced. Okay, you know, that comes back to expectation. You know, it's like setting up, you know, if you're going to, you know, be on a marathon team, you know, it's going to require this type of work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like doing your due diligence. To get here, it's going to require this.
Mm-hmm.
And most oftentimes, people think, okay, I can just get out there and do it. And it's like New Year's resolutions. Yeah, it sounds great in theory, but once you do it, and it's like, oh, okay.
You know,
it didn't take you, you know, 10 years, you know, it took you 10 years to gain 20 pounds, so you're not going to lose it in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So should you allow your child to make mistakes, or should you hover around and just like make sure that they don't make any mistakes and like protect them all the time?
You have to let the play develop. You know, you let the play develop. And there's teaching lessons in that because, you know, obviously you don't want them running in the street, but you have to make them aware of certain things. And that's a non-negotiable. You know, you're not going in the street. That's just a non-negotiable. But other things, there's a lot of gray and a lot of lessons to be learned.
Mm-hmm.
When you allow them to mess up.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm an only child parent, and that's really hard for me. Okay? Like, it's really hard. I'm always the safety net waiting to catch. And I try to think about this all the time. So that's good advice. Cause I'm like, at this point, now my child's 15. I'm like, how am I impairing him by not allowing him, you know, to mess up? And in this neighborhood, guys, you know, we live in the bubble. It's like,
we don't make mistakes.
No, we don't. No, I was going to say like, everybody's watching, right? So, like, mm-hmm. I've had my friend Rachel be like, I saw Charles. He was crossing the street. He did not look both ways. You know, like, literally, that's the neighborhood.
Sure.
Like, they see kids. Everybody knows each other. Like, you know, we're helicopter moms.
Yeah, definitely helicopter. And I feel like people forget what they were like when they were younger. I don't think any of us were perfect back then.
Mm-hmm. No.
They're young. They're supposed to make mistakes.
Yeah.
It's exploratory.
Yeah. Well, here's a question. So, knowing that my child wasn't super athletic initially, what would you advise parents of young children? Like, what's a good age, really, to start kids in sports?
Depends on the kid. They have personality. There are some kids that I have that, in fact, one's here that's just started. Where's a little lively? She's, oh, there she is. And she came to my class with older, and she has the personality to keep up with some of the older kids.
Mm-hmm.
I have some kids that are the same age. They're not. It takes a little bit. It depends on the kid. Mm-hmm. It really depends. Once you get to know the kid, and for me, it's always about making the connection. I make the connection first, then I can help guide which way we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
So someone asked the question, and I kind of found it humorous because I think that there's only one option here is what sport should my child play? Are there options? I thought there was just football.
There are options.
We would have been out in 5 seconds. That was never happening.
Oh, yeah. Mine doesn't play football either.
Again, I go back from our first time we got to meet and we talked about dating. You know, you're asking for that date. I'd like to take you out. Well, you know, you're going to do everything that I want to do. It's not going to be a very fun date.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different for the child. And you can introduce them and go, hey, you know, it's just, would you like to try this? You're just literally offering a buffet. And they'll develop what they like,
they'll
and
they'll gravitate toward
it. Well, so speaking to parents of young children in our audience, like, Is it about like the physicality of the child that lends itself to a certain sport, or is it really about the love of it, or is it a combination?
It's a combination. Mm-hmm. It's very much a combination.
It's a really good question.
It's really a combination. And after doing it for 30-something years, you know, I've seen some kids that start out. I have a couple of kids that don't even, that haven't talked to me in 2 years. Mm-hmm. But they'll do everything I say, and then they'll come back and go, "Mr. Donovan, I did this in soccer." And you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. It depends on the kid. And I have some kids that have it, that just have, you know, they just have the tenacity to do those things. So it depends on the kid. And again, it goes back to you understanding what kid you're working with and the personality set that they have. Mm-hmm. And then you go from there. And it's just managing the personality. And then from there, they get to choose.
Well, it's kind of like the turtle and the hare. Like, you think about it, and like, of course, you know, some kids like race ahead and do so well. And then sometimes the turtle is the one that kind of steadily really begins to love a sport and stick to it and has the commitment, right?
Yes. And again, it goes back to the personality of the child and the temperament. Mm-hmm. It's huge. It makes a big difference.
So does it say something about my child's temperament that he played on the wrong side on the soccer team once and scored a goal and everybody cheered and then they realized it was the wrong team?
I think every kid has done that at some point.
You know, he gets a mulligan on that, you know. It's okay. He'll live.
He was so excited, like, yeah.
Don't bring it up at the wedding.
No, wrong team, wrong side.
So we're here to talk about confidence with kids, and I want to switch gears for a minute and talk about social media, because I feel like that is a huge detriment to kids' self-esteem and self-confidence. What can we do about this? Because I feel like it's not realistic as they get a little older, not for the young ones, to say you absolutely cannot have social media.
It's something that's here to stay, It comes down to management and how you're going to navigate that culture. And again, I have nieces, nephews, my own children that are into it and onto it. And, you know, you're trying to stay relevant and, you know, what is. It's like it's a wealth of information. There's almost like no gauge. Mm-hmm. And that's the hard part. You're not going to stop it. It's here.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not going away. And like anything you would do, you would manage and say, hey, this is what we're going to do and impose limits. You know, we have drinking ages, we have smoking ages, we have insurance ages, you know, and social media will end up having hey, we're going to limit you. We're going to throttle you down to this. Mm-hmm. Again, this is where you have an open buffet where there is no checks and balances. Mm-hmm. So you, as a family, will have to decide what your boundaries are towards that. And mm-hmm. and that will help.
Well, it's interesting because sports really are a metaphor for life. So for me with my kids, I don't know about you guys, but like, you know, I grew up playing sports and I'm clearly not a very big person. I played basketball in New York City from 6
She's
to 18.
She's tiny, but Mike.
But like, it was important to me to be a fighter. Like, I was never going to be the top basketball player. It was never going to happen. I was never going to play in college. It didn't matter. It was important to me to be a part of a team. So it was hard for me to navigate that with my son because I really wanted him to play a sport. And it wasn't about what sport it was. I just wanted him to be involved in sports and really not about, again, not about being the top, not about winning. To me, it's about, and it still is, it's about being a part of a team, showing up, committing, being responsible, being a team player. Like, to me, it's like a mini terrarium for life. You know, it really is though. Yeah. It's like you're looking at, like, yeah, it is.
And, you know, I have a good family here that I've known for years, and they have mm-hmm. that same philosophy of, you know, it's not just the sports, it's being involved, being a team, respecting themselves, others, and each other, mm-hmm. and being a part of something bigger than themselves. And so they embody that, and they're here now.
Yeah.
And I have several other families the same way, and they understand that. It comes down to the culture of your own family and how you make that work.
Yeah. So guys, obviously, you know, we're sitting up here talking, but does anybody have any questions, like, about your children that might help us, you know? Any questions you have about sports? Or you?
I just have a comment. My daughter is 8. She's in second grade, and Mr. Donovan was probably, she was 15 months old, and you were playing with her over at St. Michael's. Thank you.
Yes.
The confidence she has now, just to try things and be confident in herself, and that's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And it's the approach. And and thank you for repeat the question.
Me?
You?
No. So again, I just wanted to say, if anybody out there has anybody, like a young child or a middle-aged child, you know what I mean? Like a middle school child. I'm a middle-aged child. But a middle school child or anything where you have a question about sports and what you would think.
Not necessarily about sports, but you see my twins. We have a really strong, stubborn 2.5-year-old.
She's strong. She's very strong.
That's going to serve her well one day, by the way.
Yeah. Would you make sense to her? And, like, what do you do? How do you guide these kids to, like, get them to do what you want them to do where they think they're making their own decisions?
What do I do to get them to do what I...
what you want them to do.
Yes. You know, again, it comes down to the approach. And with Susie and Callie both, she has twins, and they're fun. But I was very firm in what I'm going to do with them and how I do it and how I deliver it. And I give them an option, and that's it. And I walk away. It's like, it's going to be this or this, and I just walk away. And they're like, oh, well, the fit doesn't work. No, it doesn't, because we're going over here. I'm very firm with it. I don't yell, don't raise my voice. It's simply just... this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing now. We're going to do this later. We're going to do this now. That's it. There's no deal making, no tricks.
It's just no negotiation.
No negotiation.
But what's nice about it is when you think about it, when you have a kid who's like in a class of 30, let's say, right? And they're six, you kind of narrow down the playing field.
Yes.
You're taking a child and focusing them on what they do best or, you know, just giving them the confidence they need that they might not be getting in a bigger group, right?
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. And even with the young ones, it's they have their own personalities, and you see that when they come in. Mm-hmm. And I have these elaborate lesson plans, and my nephew's here, he works with me sometimes, and we'll have these elaborate lesson plans, and it's like, yes, we're going to do this today. And I see the kid and go, no, we are not going to do this today. you never know, because there's so many factors that go into it. You don't know what they've had to eat. You don't know if they've been upset. You don't know how long they've been awake, if they have colds, sniffles, sneezes. There are so many factors, and then they're excited to see me in 100 degree heat.
Mm-hmm. Even if they ate like 3 bags of Swedish fish,
they do.
they're ready to play soccer.
But again, it's the approach, and also making the connection with them, and they know what you are, and you have to stay consistent. And I'm very consistent. They know that, hey, Mr. Donovan does this. He wears the same outfit all the time. This is his field, or you know, this. Mm-hmm. They even know my vehicle.
And it's not that, by the way. It's a red.
It's not your name. He doesn't show up in the soccer field in a tuxedo. But I will tell you, it's like much like you. I had a brother at my Catholic school who's the one who taught me to play basketball when I was six, and I'm still friends with him. He's 85 years old.
Oh wow!
And like that was the confidence booster for me. Like he was literally, you know, taking a kid who weighed like 3 pounds and making me care about sports and like taking the time to show me, you know. And basketball's not easy, you know. Like he really really helped me. And that it's more about the confidence that I got from it and the guidance than
and
it is
a
about
mentor.
The sport.
Everyone needs a mentor, and that's exactly what you have done for so many.
And that's the angle, and because you don't know, and I mean, we'll have some people that are, you know, 40, 50, whatever, older, and some people leave this earth not knowing. I mean, but when you give them a chance and you see it, it's like everyone gets the chance to start, and, you know, you don't know what someone's going through that day, and children, they gravitate towards you. Mm-hmm. And they can sense, hey, this is just not right, and it's their sixth, their spidey sense, if you will.
Right.
So, making the connection, it affords you the opportunity to show them many things and building that trust. You know, it's like any relationship.
Yeah, the trust is really important. Anybody have any other questions? Jay?
Yes, sir.
Yes. How important is the tradition of the organization they're trying to get into? Because, I mean, I had 3 daughters, and one was a Highland Belle, and 2 were Highland Park cheerleaders. Totally different programs. Bell's great tradition. I mean, when we were first Bell parents, the one father said, Bell's does some of your parenting for you. Because our daughter got up religiously without us trying to scoot her out the door. She knew she had to be there at a certain time ready to dance. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she was toast.
So the importance of the tradition.
That what I'm saying is the tradition of the Bells, they instilled that in that athlete. Not every organization is that good about it.
He's asking about how important the organization is. He's referencing the Highland Bells as being a really good role model in lots of traditions, and did a lot of parenting for his child, which makes me really happy because my daughter just made bells.
It is important. But again, it's one of the decisions that I'm sure your daughter made. And kids will see, hey, I want to do that. I mean, you see little boys, you know, I want to be on the basketball team. I want to be a Dallas Cowboy. They start off and they see something and they go, wait, I want that, whether it's an iPad or whatever. When kids see something, just like any adult, when they see it and they want it, it's like, I want to do or be that. You know? And what happens is we adults sometimes squash their dreams because that's not what we wanted. You know, I chuckle at the part when you'll see kids get excited about how the hydraulics of a trash truck. That doesn't mean they can't be a trash person, but oh, my son's not going to be a sanitation worker. Somebody's got to do it. But he may come up with another way to deal with trash. So the organization where you say that does make a difference, but I'm sure your daughter chose that. I mean, she said, hey, you know, I want to be a part of that. So she was ready to make that commitment like any other relationship. So it is important.
Yeah.
But they get to make that decision. Can't make it for them.
We've got a very rambunctious audience member who's got a... not you, the child in the background. Go ahead.
How do you get your students to focus on you and kind of tune out all the other stuff when you're dealing with
multiple students? How do I get students to pay attention to me? Again, it started from the beginning, and much like what's with your daughter, they know how I am. And I individually go up to each one of them, and I may touch them on the shoulder, whisper in their ear, say something to them, you know, and you pick up something on them, because there are sometimes they'll come to class where she didn't want to talk. Don't force it. Walk away. When she's ready, she'll come. No one wants to be forced or micromanaged.
That is such a good question, because I always admire teachers, how they can do this little clap thing. And the whole class quiets down. But me as a parent, nothing. They don't have the same respect.
Yeah.
It's really annoying.
They know what the expectations are. Again, that goes back to the negotiation, how you come at it from the beginning. If they come to you and you've always been consistent that, hey, when I get to the door, I'm leaving. Okay. Oh, mom's going to the door. I'm out.
Yeah.
So get your stuff together. I'm not going to negotiate. So the moment you start flip-flopping.
Like expectations.
Your expectations. Yeah. It's like, well, we don't know who you are from day to day. It's like random world.
Mm-hmm. It's an excellent point. Does anyone else have a question? I do.
Any future parents? Because I see a lot of young people. I'm like, any future parents out there?
Have to stay relevant, right?
How important is family dinner? Because I know there's a lot of statistics out there that show that having dinner as a family can do so many wonderful things for your kids, lessen the opportunity for them to get on drugs, teenage pregnancy, et cetera, et cetera. How important is it?
The thing is, family dinner is highly important. And whether it's family dinner or just family time after dinner, and with everyone's schedule being so crazy and hectic, you know, anytime you can get where you can say, hey, it's open door. You know, my nephew comes over quite a bit and, you know, he gets to talk to me whenever. That door's always open.
Yeah. And that makes a huge difference. It really does. So that door, because you're right. Family is not defined by two parents and a child or whatever. It's defined by an open house and time spent together talking about important things.
Right.
Right.
Right. I have one last question. I read that the reason that you wanted to get into child development and helping building kids' self-esteem is because you were bullied as a child.
Oh, man.
Tell us about that.
I could hula hoop a Cheerio. I mean, I was skinny. you know, man, I had big glasses. You know, I couldn't see.
Did you wear a tuxedo like you're wearing now?
I wore what fit. I wore what I could wear. And jeans were not my friend. You know, I didn't look good in them. My crazy example, I think, is my mom here? No. My crazy example is that one year in high school, again, I was just on Facebook and Instagram, and I take it as a compliment now, but the guys put a bag of rice in my locker so that I could gain some weight.
Bag of rice. That's going to do it, huh?
Yeah, you know, you said back then, it was in the 80s, you know, we had the commercials where you could feed a family with rice. You know, those kind of things happen. It's like, you know, it was relentless. But actually, I started into this completely by accident. literally 31 years ago in February, I had one of those Texas ice storms, and I was a warm body at a gymnastics facility, and it just took off from there. And every time I leave the kids, it's like I got snapped in the head and said, God goes, be there.
Yeah, be there.
Well,
for them.
I have such a hard time believing you were bullied, but I know it happened. But how can we? I feel like bullies.
I got the scars.
I believe it. Bullies come from a really dark place, meaning there's something going on in their life, yeah, their home life, that's making them very unhappy, and they want to spread that unhappiness and make other people feel bad. Mm-hmm. But how can we teach our children? How can we get through to young children that it's not them? Don't take it personally. It's about the bully.
It's very hard because, you know, when you're there and you're in that situation, and when you hear it, it's like, wow, one, you're not prepared for it. No one wakes up going, man, I can't wait for them to lock my locker in front of me. I can't wait for them to push me down. No one's prepared for that.
Right.
It happens, and you're like, wait, and I'm supposed to, and then you're conflicted with the things you learn in kindergarten. Be nice and all those little things you've learned. Right. It's like, don't fight back because you'll get in trouble. So wait, I can't fight back if someone's pushing me. Mm-hmm. So I'll get in trouble for fighting back. There's zero tolerance. So wait, so I get pummeled in the face. So right then you feel hopeless, and it's real hard to do that.
Right, right.
Well, I think the important thing, and I would imagine you would say the same thing, is it's about rising above it. Like you can't change it. You have to filter it through a healthy family and healthy brain to make it so that you say, I've overcome this.
Yes, there's all dominoes. I mean, the ability to be able to talk to someone, the ability to be able to check. You know, that's why checking with your child or your whoever you are as part of your family, just people you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's adult bullies too. And
yeah. Yes, there are.
we've seen that. And it's
Sean.
Like,
just joking. I'm just joking.
Ouch. No, ow. So, you know, being able to, you know, people give off a sense that, hey, something's not right. And when you know someone and you're in tune with them, and like with the children that I teach and the families that I teach and the moms, you have to be in tune with them.
Yeah.
And you can see that things are off. It's about being more in tune. And so often we're distracted. And people come to you, and after the fact, it's like, wow, you hear it in a news story, you know, the warning signs were there. It's like, how did you not know? Well, the warning signs were there.
Yeah.
But we were so busy and so consumed with other things, you overlooked. And so it's being in tune.
Mm-hmm. Well, guys, any more questions? Everybody good? So happy to have Mr. Donovan on the show. And happy
thank
to
you,
be
Reverend
at Kids Biz. Guys, the story is amazing. So nice to meet you all and to have you here. Like, it's been a really, really fun show. I like doing live
thank
stuff
you.
Like this.
This is awesome. Thank you so much again to Kid Biz and for Sitter Central Dallas for bringing your sitters out.
Yes, and to Allison Volk.
And, of course, to Mr. Donovan.
And Mr. Donovan.
Oh, thank you guys.
Sharing your wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And Sarah Blaze, photographer.
Yes. Well, that's been another episode of The Bubble Lounge. I'm Martha Jackson.
And I'm Nellie Shuto. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you.